morning. I wonder sometimes if our life of faith is something like a balloon. It begins back in Advent, as we watch and wait for the coming of the Christ child. And then it continues at Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And then on it goes into Ash Wednesday, when we reflect on the temptations of our Lord. And into Lent, when we walk together growing in faith. And then we come to Palm Sunday, and Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And then here we are, welcome to the most famous day of all, the Sunday after Easter. You know, it can feel that way sometimes, can't it? Like all the air has gone out of our balloon. We built and built, and we had this great celebration, and along with all those followers of Jesus on the first Sunday, the first Easter, we celebrated, and it was great. But now we're left wondering, is that it? Is that all until Christmas? What do we do now? I think, what do we do now might be the best question we can ask on this Sunday following Easter, because it's the question that those first followers of Jesus were also asking. In case you weren't listening too closely, here's the resurrection story again, the one that Mark tells us. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went down to the tomb. When they arrived, they were surprised to see that the stone had been rolled away. And so they went inside, and inside the tomb they saw a young man dressed in white, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here, he is raised. Look, there's the place that they laid him. So go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb in terror and amazement. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's how it ends. And the air goes out of our balloons a little bit. And we wonder, if Jesus is risen, where is he? And why didn't those women say anything to anyone? And ultimately, in light of it all, what do we do now? Well, those are the questions that we're going to look at this morning. Some of the questions that this text raises for us, and this particular setting, this Sunday after Easter, a time when we feel deflated in our faith, it might be a time when God is starting to reinflate us in some new way. So as we begin, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, it said that after John the Baptizer was arrested, that Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And there in Galilee, he called his first disciples, Simon and Andrew. It was Galilee that was the place that Jesus began his own ministry, and it was in Galilee that the first disciples started to follow him. In gospel stories, that region of Galilee, all around the Sea of Galilee, was the focus point, was the Jesus' base of operations. It was the main place that he preached and taught and healed. Back in the beginning, Jesus called his disciples in Galilee, and here at the end of our story, Jesus calls those disciples again to meet him in Galilee. Jesus calls those ones who, between these two callings, have fallen away. Those ones who have fallen short. Those ones who have not followed faithfully. You know, not long ago, Starbucks coffee had a problem. Their phenomenal growth that they were having had led to new locations popping up all over the place. New locations of Starbucks coffee, not just in places like Fair Street or over on Wayland Square, but turnpike exits and airport terminals and even strip malls. There was, at one point, the satirical online magazine called The Onion reported that a new Starbucks had just opened up in the men's bathroom of an existing Starbucks. There's so many of them. Well, anyway, Starbucks had a problem because along with all these new locations that were coming up, they had all these new products, these food products to go along with all these locations. And the problem was that the smell of chicken parmesan didn't mix so well with the aroma of coffee beans. And so as the deli case filled up with diffuse food choices, the coffee sales went down as people were mixed up in their signals. They were turned off by the cacophony of smells. And so Starbucks needed to simplify its menu and to focus again on serving great coffee and the snacks that accompany it. So they introduced a new brew to all of their locations. It was called Pike's Place Roast. Have you ever had it? Yeah, a lot of you have. If you go to Starbucks, you know Pike's Place Roast. This coffee was named after the Pike's Place Market back in Seattle. Seattle was the place that it all began for Starbucks. Starbucks started making this Pike's Place Roast, and it was a return to their focus on coffee, a return to the basics, to the place where they had come from. Now, in our scripture passage today, there's a problem as well, because Jesus, the risen Lord, wants to bring his faltering and fallen away disciples back into the fold. We remember that in the week leading up to Easter, the disciples had deserted him and denied him. And so it is to these people that Jesus sends this message, these same people, this resurrection message of Jesus, go to Galilee. Go back to Galilee. Go back to the place where it started for you. I'll meet you there. Let's start over. The first message that I want to share with you today from our story is that the risen Lord Jesus invites us to start over. Invites us to go back and get a fresh start. You know, I was in Nashville, Tennessee last week with my brother. You probably knew this. He's visiting my brother and his wife, who's just back from Iraq. And I don't know if you know, but Nashville is famous for one thing above all else. What's Nashville famous for, do you think? Country music, you got it. That's where the Grand Ole Opry is. That's where the Country Music Hall of Fame is, which we visited but didn't pay $20 to get into. And that's where people wear cowboy hats around. Elvis recorded there. Country music is what Nashville is known for. And while I was there, I was reminded of some of the all-time worst country music titles. And I wanted to share a couple with you. I don't know if you've heard of these before. You know, songs like Her Teeth Was Stained But Her Heart Was Pure. You ever hear that one? It's a country music title. Or How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? Or even I Liked You Better Before I Knew You So Well. Or finally, I'm So Miserable Without You, It's Like Having You Here. These are all country. All right. Well, one of the things about country music is that along with these kinds of songs, they are always singing about things getting messed up and then getting a second chance. Or about going home and starting over again. Or about love gone wrong and then giving it another try. These are some of the standard themes in country music. And in fact, they are standard Christian themes as well. The word we might use would be redemption. To be redeemed, to be taken back, to be graciously given another chance. And that's what Jesus' invitation to the disciples is all about on that first Easter. Go back to Galilee. I'll meet you there. Let's start over. I wonder how you hear this message of Jesus today. Go back to Galilee. What would it look like for you to go back to Galilee, do you think? I don't mean getting on a transatlantic flight to Israel, but I do mean going back to the beginnings of your faith, that beginning point, the basics somehow. Imagine with me, if you would, the place that you call Galilee in your life. I think we all have this place. The place where it all started for you, the place where you first met God in Christ, the place where it first became real, the place where you started following. What is your Galilee? What's it look like? Was it a church? Maybe the church of your childhood or your teenage years? A place where the unconditional love of God was made clear to you for the first time? Is that Galilee for you? Or maybe it was a mission trip, a place where the passion that you felt was so real that you never wanted to come home and you've always wanted to go back. Was that Galilee for you? I wonder if Galilee for you might have been time spent in a summer camp, where in nature you were drawn in by God's beauty and the creation. Maybe you met God in a new way in that place. I wonder if your Galilee was a college fellowship group that encouraged you, or a prayer group that sustained you, or maybe a 12-step group that pulled you up and helped you see a source higher than yourself, someone that you've come to know as God in Christ. What does Galilee look like for you? The place where it all started, the place that you come from in faith. I want you to imagine, if you would, a way to go back to that place this week. Not to go back to upstate New York or Korea, but think about the practices that nurtured you when you were in Galilee. In your Galilee, what was going on that was so significant, that made a difference for you? What was it about being in Galilee that jump-started your faith? Was it having time, intentional time with God in prayer or scripture reading? Was it being in service to other people in some meaningful way? Was it taking time to be with God in nature? Back in Galilee, did you used to have a friend that you'd share your life with? And I wonder if you've talked to that friend recently, over the phone or over a coffee. Might be a way to go back to Galilee. Back in Galilee, did you have a mentor, someone who meant a lot to you in the faith, who helped you along? I wonder if an email or a letter to that person this week might be a way for you to go back to Galilee, connect with that beginning part of your faith. This is the invitation of this resurrection story. Go back to Galilee and meet Jesus again. I hope you'll find a way this week to get back to the basics, maybe to reconnect with your faith. And if you do, Pastor Chris and I would love to hear about it. We'd love to hear in a way that you're reconnecting with the basics of your faith, because it's something that we need to do as well. You know, coming out of this crazy time of Lent and Easter, kind of wiped out ourselves. We're trying to get back on track with God. Not just your pastors, but the elders, the deacons, the ushers, the choir, maybe even Elena up there. We all need to do this. We are in this together. Because as faithful as we try and be, you know, all of us lose air in our balloons sometimes, don't we? I'm thinking about the women in our story here, those faithful women. They were there when Jesus was put up on the cross. They were there when he died. The women were there when they laid him in a tomb. And here the women are again, when this announcement is made, this Easter proclamation that Jesus is risen. These women have been faithful at every step, more faithful than their male counterparts. But finally, they lose it too. They fizzle out here a little bit at the end. Like all of us, they come up short. The angelic young man tells them the news that Jesus is raised and that they are to go and tell everyone else. But they don't do it. The Gospel of Mark says that they were terrified and they fled from the tomb and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What a way to end the story. What a way to take the air out of our balloons, huh? But that is the end of the Gospel of Mark. Maybe you want to take it home and read it again. Maybe you want to reflect and think through all the possible reasons. There are many, all the possible reasons that this story could have ended like this. It's a challenge to us to consider this different ending of Mark. But end it does. It's the end of the story. Isn't it? Or is it? This story, it seems to me, is part of the larger Jesus story. One thing we know about the Jesus story is that it ends in death on a cross, entombed, but that ending leads to this new beginning when Jesus is raised. And so placing this story in relationship to the Jesus Christ story, I wonder, was it really the end? Or does this cliffhanger sort of ending at the end of Mark leave space for another new beginning? I wonder if those women ever found their way back to Galilee. Do you think they did? Or I wonder if along the way Peter and the others got there as well. Did they go back to Galilee? I wonder if there was a new beginning for them, where God took them as they are and breathe life into them. And little by little started filling them up. Breath by breath. In a way they hadn't experienced before. New life with Christ where they didn't expect it. Sustained for the journey, were they? Was the cliffhanger ending of Mark the end, or was it a new beginning? God, tie them off. Fill them up and set them on a new path. Let's go back to Galilee this week. Let's find out if God, who raised Jesus from the dead, can raise us as well. Amen.
Please join me with the affirmation of our faith, the Apostles' Creed.